I wasn't prepared here. I haven't been liturgist in a little while. I didn't have my place marked. I need to tune back up, don't I? Our Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah 6th chapter, beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Here am I, send me. The word of the Lord. It is our tradition to stand for the gospel reading, if you are comfortable doing so and able. As we hear the gospel this morning, we are hearing the preacher's choice of the gospel. This is Luke 4, beginning with verse 21. A little bit of antecedent action. They are gathered in the temple. And it is traditional that in the temple someone is selected and a scribe brings them a text to read. And they have brought the text to Jesus, and it's a text out of Isaiah, proclaiming the Spirit is upon him. And he says to them, after he reads the scripture, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?' He said, 'Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, Doctor, cure yourself.' And they will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard that you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I give you our morning preacher. I invite you to be seated.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of our mind and hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Amen. I would like to begin by thanking Pastor Peter for the opportunity to be before you here this morning. We just heard of Christ's return to Nazareth, his hometown, and it wasn't exactly a warm welcome. How could this homecoming have gone so wrong? I thought those gathered in the synagogue initially were were happy to see him. What exactly could Jesus have done or said to make those gathered want to kill him? So as Pastor Peter indicated before reading the gospel, in the verses leading up to today's gospel lesson, Jesus is standing in the synagogue, reading from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to free the captives and give sight to the blind, to set at liberty the oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." After reading, Jesus sat down, and this is where we pick up with today's gospel lesson. Jesus proclaims in verse 21, "Today this scripture has been anointed in your hearing." That's pretty heavy. Anointed just in your hearing. We're all familiar with the story of Jesus having his hair anointed with the precious oils and aromatic oils. But there is also the definition of anointed that one, in this case Jesus, receives the official stamp of approval, which can only be given by the Holy Ghost, declaring Jesus Messiah. You get that stamp, you throw away the receipt. There's no returns accepted. No recount. It's a done deal. As Jesus continued to preach, those gathered in the synagogue were amazed. Amazed with what he was saying, with what he was preaching. And amongst the parishioners there that day, they were amongst each other, "Is that Joseph's son? Isn't that the son of Joseph? Oh yeah, that is Joseph's son. We used to be neighbors. I used to go to high school with that guy. We played baseball together." Looking for some form of connection, wanting to be connected to Jesus. Jesus went on preaching his marvelous words, feeding the hungry, helping the needy, clothing the bare, ushering in this new age of God's grace and of God's glory. And he would open the gates for all. We heard in this scripture that Jesus quoted the old proverb, "Doctor, heal yourself." They had heard what he did in Capernaum and wanted to see the same miracles in Nazareth, his hometown. Now things are starting to get turned a little sideways here. Jesus continued in verse 24, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3.5 years, when there came a great famine over the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only one, Zarephath, a widow in Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman, the Syrian." Two prophets, Elijah, Elisha, shunned in their hometowns. Of all the widows in the land, Elijah was sent to one, Zarephath, a Gentile. Of all the lepers Elisha could have healed, he healed Naaman, the Syrian, a Gentile. Now, during this age of history, we know Jews viewed the Gentiles as second-class citizens. And I don't like to use that second-class citizen. I like to think of us as just all citizens. But that's the way they looked at the Gentiles. They looked down on them. They shunned them. They were outcast during that history, that time of history in their society. And when they heard Jesus speak of Elijah and Elisha going directly to Gentiles to heal them, to know that Gentiles were worthy of the favor of God, this infuriated the people in the synagogue that day. They were seething, so much so that they immediately led Jesus to what was for all intents and purposes a cliff. And believe me when I tell you, they did not have good intentions. But somehow, miraculously, Jesus just passed through their midst and went on his way. Now we have come together this Super Bowl Sunday morning to worship. And have you ever heard the question, "Hey, are you going to church tomorrow?" And perhaps you may have heard the answer, "Well, no, but you know, when I'm on my boat at Lake Powell, I feel in one with the Spirit." Or perhaps you may have heard the answer, "No, I'm not going to church, but I always pray before the Broncos play." That is the difference between a worshiper and an admirer. Worshippers are in church regardless who's the pastor, who's the organist, who's in the congregation, etc., etc. They are there because God is there. The English Cambridge Dictionary defines worship as to go regularly to a place for religious ceremonies. You see, admirers, they admire from a distance, not up close and personal. They admire enclosed, not with transparency. It matters to admirers who's the preacher, who are the ushers, and the list goes on and on. You see, the Jews in the synagogue that day believed themselves to be the worshipers, and the Gentiles were cast even below that of admirers. Since it is, in fact, Super Bowl Sunday, I'm going to hit you, no pun intended, with a story of my youth. Unbeknownst to most of you, upon graduating from high school, I received a scholarship to play football at the University of Oregon. I'm just going to kind of briefly explain to you about our practices. Practices were extremely regimented, literally down to the minute. 5 minutes for running plays, 5 minutes for passing plays, 8 minutes for pass protection. And they literally, there was one gentleman whose sole job of the whole practice is he had a stopwatch and he had an air horn and he had the schedule of practice. So when it came to that, when that minute hit for the time for that period to end, he blew his air horn and we literally sprinted to the next period, whatever that period may be. but it was extremely regimented, very physically and mentally demanding, and typically ran about 2.5 to 3 hours. And as an 18 to 21-year-old young man, this repetitive schedule and constant repetition of running the same plays, the same formations, you find yourself becoming programmed to the things you practice every day over and over again. There were times in practice, because of being so physically and mentally spent, you just clicked it on to autopilot. It was just easier to shut down mentally and physically just let your body carry you through the remainder of practice. Autopilot didn't always help. It could get you through a tough practice, could get you through a tough workout, but it didn't always help. During practice, a certain play may be called which was designed for a situation where the offensive unit required to gain 4 yards for a first down. In practice, autopilot's safe. However, during a game, that same play that was designed to gain 4 yards may be called in a situation where the offensive unit was required to gain 6 yards for a first down. What do you do now? This play is only supposed to get 4. Why are you calling it when we need 6? I recall during my career as an athlete being told, get your head in the game. Get your head in the game. What does that mean? Does it mean pay attention? Does it mean elevate your focus? Does it mean increase the intensity level? It means all of the above. But I also believe that having your head in the game employs an aspect of living in the moment. Well, how? As a running back, I had to be completely and totally entrenched with knowing down and distance, defensive alignment, my own offensive assignment, snap count. An offensive play requiring 6 yards when you needed 4, you had to live in that moment. You had to seize that moment. You had to come out of your comfort zone. Throw autopilot out the window and dig a little bit deeper. You had to get your head in the game. Right here, right now, Aurora, Colorado, 2019. Do you find yourself at times running on autopilot? The monotony of work, the nightmare that is rush hour traffic, bills, mortgage, the never-ending to-do list. Remember in today's gospel reading, Jesus calls us, we are called to be part of the inauguration of God's new kingdom. The poor will be fed, the blind shall have sight. How does that affect us here and now? Acts of kindness. Simple acts of kindness. You see, we may not be able to make the lame walk or cure diseases. What you and I can do is smile at a stranger. Say hello to that coworker you don't see eye to eye with. Hold the door open for that stranger whom you don't know. Say thank you. Say excuse me. Say you're welcome. You might even make a worshiper, or you might even make an admirer a worshiper. I challenge you even further. Do these things for someone who may not look like us or be from the same place as us, who may not drive a car, who may be standing at the bus stop in the middle of a blizzard. Easy to do for those you know. What about those you don't know? It only takes a spark to get a fire going. It's time. Time to disengage autopilot. Time to live in that moment. No matter how difficult, no matter how uncomfortable it may be. Time to seize that moment. For opportunity presents itself every day. And get out there and get your head in the game. Amen.